So today is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And so we are going to take a little time and pray for the persecuted church around the world. And I had a really wonderful conversation with Tom and Jenna and Holly a couple weeks ago. And we're kind of talking about that. Like, why would we even want to engage with persecution? And so I want to share a little bit about that as we start the kind of the blessings. And today, one of the things I want you to see is as we engage with the world, there are hundreds of thousands of people who believe in Christ whose lives have been under attack often on a regular basis around the world. And we kind of live in this bubble in the United States where we don't really experience a lot of that. Some of you have experienced certain low levels of persecution. And by persecution, what I mean is a deliberate attack aimed at somebody because of what they believe in order to try to silence them or subdue them. And so there's certainly a small amount of that we engage here in the United States, but around the world, there's certain places where the levels of that are really atrocious. And so today I want to share with you that I believe there is an amazing gift that the persecuted church gives to us, and there's an amazing gift that we have an opportunity to give to the persecuted church. And so I hope that we see that in together in that. So why don't we pray, and then we're going to just kind of look at what the Bible says about this. So, all right, God, thank you for this morning, and thank you that you desire us and love us. Thank you for your amazing love that is spreading all over the world. Yeah, I thank you that no matter what people do, what other powers try to snub your message, try to hide your love, try to squash it, it can't be stopped. I thank you that your love is spreading. I thank you that the message of Christ is spreading. Thank you that you are on the move. Thank you that you continue to gain ground even in my own heart. Thank you that you are moving in my heart. God, I pray for today. I ask that you would give us soft hearts. I ask that you would grow our hearts in you today. I ask that you would enlarge and encourage and inspire us. I ask that you would teach us. And I ask that you would use our prayers and our love for those around the world to make a difference. I pray that you would strengthen our persecuted brothers and sisters, that you would fill them with joy and hope. And we just give you this morning, thank you for this opportunity to be aware of you and to gather together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the just kind of main verse I want to highlight today, Romans 15:30 says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. And so that's the opportunity that we have to give, to join in that struggle. And there's a tremendous gift that we'll receive in the middle of that. And so just kind of as a backdrop, part of our conversation, I think in life a lot of times, especially in the United States, we can tend to seek living in this kind of happiness bubble. So we're going to try to create this little happiness bubble, and it's just everything's going to be perfect in there. And so we might need to put up our walls. One of the amazing tools we have in the U.S. is a garage door opener. I mean, you don't even have to like walk out where there's a chance where you'll see anybody. You can just go right into the garage, come out when you leave. And so it's kind of like we can tend to it. And I feel myself doing this. Like, I want to just create, and if you don't experience it too much, when you have kids, it seems like it just increased in me. It's like, okay, I need to really, like, just, I don't know, find my bubble even more. But I think you can probably relate to that. There's a little bit of, like, let's create our own safe place and just stay in this happiness bubble. And there's a lot of junk going on in the world. And I think we used to have this impression that the whole U.S. was like this happiness bubble, and that is getting destroyed. I mean, it's like, it's a place, it's becoming a place more and more of chaos. And so, I don't know why I think in graphs and circles and stuff, but whatever. So we got some more circles. So this is kind of my thought of it is like, I create my little kingdom. So I got my kingdom, and the things that I want in my kingdom is I want to be in control, and I want it to be pain-free, and I want there to be happiness. And, you know, if I can buy some really cute posters to put on the wall that, like, inspire that happiness, I'm going to do that in my house. And if I can have a job that, you know, brings happiness, I want to kind of create this happiness bubble. And then out there in this larger world, I realize I'm not in control. And there's pain and persecution and these things out there. And so I think there is this tendency, it's like, let's just take care of ourselves. Let's make sure everything for us is going well, and everybody else can kind of fend for themselves too. And I don't want to get too tainted with that. Can you guys relate to that too? This was part of our conversation. It's like, there's some tendency in that. And where does that come from? That part of me without God, which we call the flesh, just is wired that way. But the reality is that in this little happy bubble outside of the world, it doesn't actually work. And that was part of the conversation that we had, is that, you know, we might try to create this, but at the end of the day, there's really not control. It's actually an illusion. Me being in control is an illusion. And no matter how much I try to create this bubble, this isolated place, I'm really not in control. There's things that break in my house. It seems like, I don't know, are you guys having a season of things breaking in your house? I don't know why all the appliances are like in revolt right now or something. But things break. My kids, like, I am not in control. I cannot make them do exactly what I want. That control is an illusion. So even when we try to create these places, it is kind of an illusion. Pain-free, has anybody created a pain-free place for them? There really is not a way that in my happiness bubble I can shut out all the pain of the world or even my own pain, because a lot of it's inside. And even when I block out things, it's still there. And then also just the brokenness of the world affects me. So I realize the illusion of that, and even happiness, the place of trying to create happiness. And I think even sometimes, not only are these things an illusion that we're trying to create, they can actually become a place where we thought it would give us like freedom and happiness, but actually gives us fear and bondage. And we actually get kind of like trapped into this place of fear. And so today, as we are invited into this bigger reality, especially connecting to the persecuted church, there might be a resistance, and I want to just kind of invite us into our hearts just getting a little bigger. Because in that small place of like, I want to keep out all of that stuff, I actually become kind of a slave to my own little world of fear and bondage. And just, there's some things we miss out on. In Mark 10, 29 through 30, it says, "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in the present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." And I think sometimes we want to kind of pick and choose. It's like, well, I want to stay here. Can I get the blessings? Can I get the homes and children and mother and eternal life? And can I also stay over here where there's no persecutions? Is there any way I could, like, negotiate this? And Jesus doesn't offer that. He doesn't say, like, okay, for a lower price, you can get option B. And so you're going to get half as much, but You won't you won't have any persecutions. They go together. And even though there's a resistance to those things, the package deal is a beautiful thing. There's some tremendous gifts from God that we get as we follow Christ. So why should we connect with the pain of the world? Why would we even want to do that? What would God have for our hearts? What would we receive in doing that? And just a couple things. We're going to look at some of these more in depth, but in this bigger place, especially not just the world, but the part of the world that is God's kingdom, which is the entire place where God's will is done, which is where people have surrendered their lives to Him. And in this place, I'm not in control. In this place, there is pain and persecution. And in this place of God's kingdom out there in the world, there is joy. There really is. I don't know if you guys have been around a group of people who are in really difficult, in tremendously difficult circumstances, who have faith in Christ. I'm always touched with how much joy is there. And my exposure has been pretty limited. But I've noticed, like, whoa, you have a really hard life. And I have relatively an easy life compared. And you seem to have more joy than I do. What? That's amazing to me. There is joy from God in the midst of pain and persecution. That comes together. It's not like one or the other. There is hope. There is amazing hope in these places of persecution. Because you see the reality of God at work. And even in places where people are dying, God is not overcome. The news of Christ is not overcome. The love of God continues to spread. People are touched. There's peace. A peace that transcends the circumstances. There's love. In God's kingdom, there's an amazing love. There's a camaraderie. There's a brotherhood. There's a tremendous love, just knowing that God cares for us, a sense of belonging. And to me, that sense of belonging, knowing that I belong to God rather than this place where I was just off on my own, is one of the amazing gifts of His kingdom that we get to enjoy. There are rewards. The choices that people make, even under persecution, brings tremendous rewards to their life, both during this age and in the age to come. Amazing rewards that God gives us, some of those internal, some of those from people, and some of those that are beyond even knowing of what He's going to give us in the future. Blessing. I was touched recently with just thinking of the word blessing. It's kind of a church word, blessing. And I really like this word. I think it's beautiful. And sometimes I just pray that God would bless people and, like, bring blessing. It's like, well, what does that mean? What is blessing? And there's a lot that could be said about blessing. But one of the things that I was reading is blessing is like the flourishing of life. Flourishing of the fullness of who we were made to be. And blessing, and when God gives blessing, life flourishes. And believe it or not, there's a flourishing of life in the middle of pain and persecution. Pain and persecution cannot squish blessing. They cannot squish the flourishing of life. And then, most importantly, Jesus. Jesus is there in the midst of that. And so as we kind of just walk into that place, and as I'm asking you today to kind of open your hearts to the persecuted church, to the reality of the pain and the persecution, my prayer is that you connect with Jesus there, that you see Jesus is at work there. Jesus touches us in a new way. We connect even deeper with Christ. Okay, so we're going to look at that a little bit. So first of all, why? What can we receive today? We can be encouraged, I believe inspired, and we can share in those rewards that come with persecution. In Luke 6, Jesus said, "Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets." I've come a little bit farther in that verse than I was when I was younger in the faith. That's a pretty challenging, beautiful call. Are you serious, Jesus? Okay, people insult me, and you want me to, like, be happy? People rejected me because I love you, and you want me to be, like, wonderful. There's a reward in that. And I've come a small ways further to see the truth of that and the beauty of that. But there is something really rich and wonderful to know that, to say, yeah, I belong with Christ. And there's been plenty of times in my life instead where, to avoid that, I've said, I don't know him. And I'm ashamed of those times. Where it was like, I know I'm going to get mocked or insulted or something. Don't you love Jesus? Maybe, maybe not. And those times would be like, yes, me and Jesus, I love him. He loves me. I'm proud of him. In those times, there is an amazing reward, even when people say, that's weird. Which is more in my experience, in my head. I've had that actually happen less than I'm like afraid it's going to happen. There is a tremendous reward in our own spirit when we associate with Jesus and something negative happens. We grow even closer to him. And there's also rewards in heaven. There's a reward for that. Where in heaven, Jesus says, in front of all the angels, that's my kid. That's my sister right there. That's my brother. I'm proud of them. The same. There's these rewards and others I don't even know of. In Matthew 10:42, it says, if any of you gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. And that's a cool thing. As we care for the church, even the persecuted church, by a prayer, he's saying even a cup of cold water. It's like you gave someone a cup of cold water. It's saying that's like a small act. That will not be forgotten. It will be rewarded. Your love for others will be rewarded. We have a reward for us as we care. The second thing, we encounter Jesus there. And like I said before, Christ and suffering and joy, they're all bound up together. It's not like here's Jesus and over there is suffering and over there is joy. But Jesus and suffering and joy are all in one pot. And they are connected. So as we engage with that, we don't lose happiness in the middle of it. Philippians 1:29 says, "For it's been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him." So putting your faith in Christ, you not only get to trust him, you also get to suffer for him. It's like these come together. It's a package deal. And as Paul says again in 2 Corinthians, "For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." And this is cool. The word there is like overflow. The abundant sharing abundantly. So the sufferings of Christ, Jesus came and suffered for the entire world. He suffered for us that we could be set free. And in that same way that he suffered, that suffering flows out into our lives. It's like, being connected with Jesus, we engage. There's in the darkness of this world, in the suffering of this world, and even bringing our life, bringing like, I want to bring something into that. I don't want that just to stay. It costs me something. I feel that. Just like Jesus did. He felt it and he cared. And the same way that suffering overflows to us, and then also his comfort overflows to us. What an amazing thing. It's not just like, oh, come follow Jesus and you can suffer. It's like, come follow Jesus and there's some suffering that comes with it, and there's an amazing comfort from Christ's love that flows into us, and then we are able to offer to others. But to be close to Jesus, to know him, to know his voice, to walk with him, if it costs suffering, it's worth it. And I point my own heart in that direction, even as hopefully I'm pointing you guys in that direction. It is worth it. I love how Steve shared last week. It was like, if you weighed how much it costs, and you weighed what you got, it would like, this would be a joke. Oh, but it might cost me. Seriously? Like, you're gonna care about that quarter? Like, that was such a good illustration. Like, seriously, you care that you gave up a quarter and you got 25 bucks? Like, and sometimes it's like, wow, it's gonna cost me suffering. My stubborn heart is like, oh, I don't want to. Really? Like, you care about that compared to the beauty of walking with Christ and being a part of the adventure he has for you? Being a part of sharing life with him? Being a part of the journey? Being a part of following him? I would seriously be more concerned about suffering? Oh, rebellious heart. What is that? It doesn't even compare. 1 Peter 4:13 says, but rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. You flourish. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. It's like a stamp, like, yeah. Okay. Another beauty of connecting with the persecuted church in my own heart, and hopefully for each of us, is it cleanses our affections. All these things that I hang on to and I don't want to let go of, and it gives us a bigger perspective. There's a way bigger perspective, bigger than just my life and how much comfort I have and how long I live and when I die. There's a much bigger story. There's a much bigger reality there. In 1 Peter 4, 1 Peter is such an amazing book on suffering. It's very convicting to me, very beautiful. Peter writes, therefore, since Christ suffered in the body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. And if you think about people who have had their houses burned down and chased out of their community, there's a lot of things that no longer seem that important. And some of the things that they might have hung on to, or even some of the things that I hang on to, there's just a bigger picture that's like, okay, that's no longer worth my life. And so it kind of resets some things. I have just been touched by the stories of others as they walk in deep love. Okay, so what can we give? All right, did I convince you guys? That was my, I don't know, I feel like I'm like, it's like an argumentative speech. Like, okay, here's all the reasons that we should actually care about the persecuted church. And most of you guys are going like, let's just pray for him. We didn't come here. No, I'm just kidding. But I feel like I want to just remind us of the gifts that we get. There's an amazing gift that we get in connecting to God's work there. And there's a place that we have to give. And this morning, even as we as we pray, we are giving to the persecuted church. We are giving to others. And our support, our concern, our unity, our prayers, our resources, and just that compassionate heart of God, that heart of God that cares about what's happening, as we get to bring that heart of God into the situation, we bring an amazing gift into it. In 1 Corinthians 12:20 and 26, it says, "As it is, there are many parts but one body. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." And so we are all one body. Jesus is the head, and we're like his hands and feet and voice here on earth. And the church in Asia is part of the body. We are of the same body. If they suffer, we suffer, because we're all one. And even as we're like a local body, we're like a little mini body of Jesus. Same thing, as one of you suffers, we suffer. As one person rejoices, we rejoice. Because we share together, it's like a unity, a solidarity, a coming together. We care for each other. In Hebrews 10:34, it says, "You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions." And so, where it says you suffered along with those in prison, other translations say you sympathized with those in prison, like you had compassion, another one says, that your heart went out to them. You actually cared. And that it made a difference in them, like we were suffering with them. We suffer with those that are in prison. 2 Timothy 1:8 says, "Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." In Hebrews 13:3 it says, "Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering." And in my heart, it's just saying to our brothers and sisters all over the world, we're not ashamed of you. We're proud of your faith. We're with you in this. We encourage you. Continue to love, even when you're hated. Continue to share the message of the amazing forgiveness of Christ, even if somebody wants to shut down that message. Continue to forgive. Continue to know Jesus. We're going to watch a video. This is from the Voice of the Martyrs, which is one of the groups that really just tries to connect the church to really caring for the needs of the persecuted. There's some other ones, Open Door and different places. And so if you play that, Josh.
My name is Jeanette. I am a Christian and I love Jesus with all my heart. I love my children and I love the people of my country, the Central African Republic. There are both Christians and Muslims in my country, and we lived as neighbors as I worked to reach them for Christ. But my hope for a peaceful life didn't last. Our village was ambushed by the Islamist attackers. Guns started firing and we started running as fast as we could into the bush. All the Christians in my village were killed or driven into hiding. I fled with my children. We didn't even have time to put on our shoes or clothes.
Attacks like these have been targeting Christians in the Central African Republic for 8 years and continue today. Churches and missionary stations that have been built over decades have been destroyed, along with Christians' homes that have been burnt to the ground. In one area, the only structures that remained were the metal roofs of two churches. Thousands of Christians have spent years in makeshift temporary shelters, far from their homes, as the violence and instability continues. Delivering desperately needed help to displaced Christians often means overcoming impassable roads, using cargo planes, trucks, motorcycles, bicycles, and even canoes. With God's help, supplies are making it to Christians scattered throughout various camps. Today, Jeanette and more than 30,000 Christians in the Central African Republic have been driven from their homes, all because of their faithfulness in maintaining a witness for Christ in majority Muslim areas, in the face of severe Islamist violence. These courageous believers, our Christian brothers and sisters in the Central African Republic, have shown God's love and forgiveness to their persecutors. They continue to faithfully follow the Lord and trust Him to meet their needs.
To pray, so we'll just take some time to pray. And I guess just that invitation to let this bother, let it bother you a little bit. Let it bother you in a way that grows your perspective, grows your hunger for Jesus, grows your love for Him, grows your desire to see Him spread. Good. But I think to let it bother us a little bit. As we pray in 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 5, we're gonna pray three different things, but tied onto the video. It says, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And that's the first thing that we're gonna pray for. I appreciate I read a book on persecution in the Middle East. And one of the Egyptian pastors, he specifically said, don't pray for us, because you'll just pray that we're removed from the situation, basically, that everything will go well for us. But pray with us, because we're praying for those people that are attacking us. And don't just pray for us, for our safety and comfort, pray with us. And so the first prayer that we're just going to pray, and please grab somebody next to you and pray, or if you just want to pray alone where you're at, is pray that the message of the Lord will spread, and it will spread even to the people who have hatred and are doing acts of violence against Christians. God loves them. He just even impressed in this book, he said, if you take the letters of Islam, ISLAM, and to turn it into an acronym, and to change that in our hearts to say, I sincerely love all Muslims. I sincerely love all Muslims. And he says, that's the heart of Christ. It's like, whoa, serious? But anyways, pray that God's love would reach Muslims. Pray that God's love would reach those, the message of Christ would go to those who are persecuting our brothers and sisters. So we're going to take a couple minutes and pray. You can pray where you're at. Or find somebody next to you. The next one we're going to pray for, and certainly pray for the Central African Republic or other communities that you know of where there's persecution. Paul goes on to say, and pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. And so the second thing is we're just going to pray for those believers, pray that they would be strengthened, pray that they would have what they need, that those evil attacks would not, you know, destroy them, that they would continue to be strong in love and in those things that they need, even just for daily necessities. The final area we're going to pray for just in this time, and you can even hear Paul kind of shift. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. And so just to pray for our own hearts that we would be inspired by those who are under or feeling great persecution and walking in faith in it, and that we would walk in God's love and Christ's perseverance, just that steadfastness, that patient endurance to keep going and to just keep walking with Christ as we know him more and more. So just to pray for our community and even our own hearts that God would inspire us and bring the gospel here, that it would come afresh as we're inspired by those that are sharing the gospel under great challenges. God, we thank you for the amazing example of our brothers and sisters around the world that are persecuted for your sake. Thank you for the faith that you've given them. Thank you for upholding them and strengthening them. Thank you for the rewards that you give them. Thank you for being there in the midst. I ask that you would inspire us, that you would give us the same bold hearts to share the love of Jesus, to associate with you. God, I give you my own heart and the places where I try to run from your cross. And I just invite you to stir up my heart, to bother me, to connect me with this greater story that you are writing around the world. God, I ask that you would show us how you would like us to care. Thank you that our prayers make a difference. We pray that you would encourage and strengthen them in mighty ways. We pray for the Central African Republic. We ask that you would even put leaders there who would restore order, that you would be merciful, that you would be just, that the atrocities would be put to a stop. We ask that you would spread the message of Christ and your love. In Jesus' name, amen.